T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, we really need to redo this song to Put Your Mask On, We're Going Out. That would be a really cool update of that that song. Hey, I'm Scoot. It is a Friday afternoon, cloudy, a few scattered showers still around the area. And it's going to cool off and be a little cooler tomorrow, and then really warm up to the, I think, the mid-70s on Sunday. A lot of football to watch Sunday afternoon. The Bucks and the Packers at 2:05 our time, and the Bills and the Chiefs at 5:40 our time. I know you're waiting for your sports expert, Scoot, to give you the picks in these games. So I'll do that coming up a little bit later. You know, with everything that has gone on with the election, there have been people in my life who seem to have changed their attitude toward me because of the election, because of my politics. And it's not that I blame them, because, you know, I don't know. I think I'd have a hard time being with somebody that was, a foaming-at-the-mouth Trump supporter. Ann Parnas is with Match Made in NOLA. The website is matchnola.com. She is a dating expert and a matchmaker, so I thought we would talk to her for just a moment. Ann, welcome to the show this afternoon.
Thank you.
So, is it superficial? When I think about it, it seems superficial to break up with somebody over politics. But then again, it seems that politics has become such a contact sport that maybe it's not such a superficial reason. I mean, what do you think?
It's definitely a hot topic these days. I have a lot of people who come in and tell me that they don't want to meet anybody who supports Trump or supported Trump. And then I have others for whom it's not such a big issue, and they just don't like to talk politics and don't think that, you know, it has a place in their relationship. So it's pretty individual, I would say.
But it would be hard to, I mean, it'd be hard. How could you watch the news without, you know, at least being tempted to get involved in a conversation? And it seems to me that, look, I am no expert when it comes to relationships. I will admit that up front. But it seems to me that if you can't share something like politics that is part of our lives in some ways every day, I mean, you know, you can make it less of a part of your life in some ways, but politics is still a part of our lives. Can people have a good relationship and just block some things out of their relationship?
It would be hard for me, but I think, you know, like you said, how do you watch the news? Well, maybe you don't watch the news. I think it's not a reason to break up a relationship, obviously, and there are plenty of examples of people who are, you know, on opposite ends of the spectrum. But I think more like if your value systems aren't aligned, that's going to be a problem, and that does come up with politics.
Well, maybe that's the bigger issue. It's not about necessarily the candidate. It's about your overall political ideology, because we know that, like, James Carville and Mary Matlin, they get along. They seem to get along. I can't imagine, because they're both total polar opposites when it comes to politics. I don't know if they're intrigued by their differences, if they thrive on their differences. Maybe that's just a part of the attraction that they have for each other. But I can't imagine, when I think about the people who are just such hardcore Trump supporters, or if I was a hardcore Trump supporter and somebody really loved Biden and Democrats, or somebody was a progressive Democrat, I don't see how a Trump supporter could be with a raving progressive.
Right. I guess it just depends on what you're passionate about, what's most important. You know, for some people, it really isn't a big deal. And, and just kind of which aspects you disagree on, and if they're more if they're deeper than just kind of what you're watching on the news and have more to do with your day-to-day life.
Do you think, for example, that if somebody had a lot of money, maybe they could bypass what their political ideology was?
You mean in terms of how somebody might, if somebody wouldn't mind if their politics if they had a lot of money?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think people who are only attracted to someone's money really don't care too much about their ideology, period. So, absolutely.
I've tried to put myself in that position. I mean, I've seen men that obviously are with a certain woman or type of woman because they have money, because there's no way that this young person would have picked them out of a litter. You know, you just don't understand what the attraction would be. So the common denominator there was money. I don't understand why a man would want to be with somebody like that. I don't understand how a woman could be with somebody like that. And I've thought about, what if there was a woman that had a lot of money and, you know, she wanted me to be with her, and I just thought she was okay. But, and I couldn't do it. I mean, no matter how much money you like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, me too. And that's definitely not my business model, but I have had some older men who are interested in dating only women who are a lot younger. And so I always ask them, like, well, what do you think that person, you know, what are they looking for? Like, why would they be interested in going out with you? And only once has somebody said to me, you know, financial security. So
only once.
Only once have they said that out loud.
Right. So they were kind of oblivious to the real reason that they, you know, that a young girl would want to date them.
Right. Or maybe they don't want to admit it to themselves or say it out loud. But yeah. And you know, some people say, well, I've got experience and, you know, I've made mistakes. And so I've learned from them. And, you know, I have a wealth of whatever stories and things like that to offer. So, but yeah, I think that and it's different for everybody, but certainly that would be a driving force, I think, in most of those relationships.
That's interesting, because I mean, if it's just about the money, then, I mean, you're kind of like a hooker.
I guess that's one way of looking at it, right? It wouldn't work for most people who I know and work with, for sure.
All right, and Parnas has this service where you know, if you're not going online, you don't want to expose yourself online. This is sort of more of an exclusive thing where she kind of gets to know you, and then she gets to know other people, and then she kind of matches you together, and she apparently is successful at this. Anne, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Anne Parnas from MatchNola.com. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the WWL Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Let's get back to our calls from Thibodeau. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scoot. Two quick ones, one for Fox and one for you.
Okay.
Fox's Chris Wallace stated unequivocally that Biden gave the best inaugural speech he had ever heard.
Yeah, I read that.
Which didn't make many of my Republican friends happy. Let's put it that way.
Well, it didn't make a lot of Fox viewers happy either.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the current poll, from what I understand, and you would know, that now Fox has slipped to number 3, CNN is number 1, and MSNBC is number 2.
Yeah, no, that's all right. We have talked about that. I'm not going to be surprised if Fox News makes a bit of a comeback. But it really was an interesting thing, and I think people, just Trump supporters, got fatigued with the reality that the election was over. But I think they're going to. I would be surprised if a lot of viewers don't go back to Fox, because now Fox is bashing on Biden, and those Fox viewers who were Trump supporters, who didn't want to hear about Trump losing, they're going to want to hear about Biden being bashed.
Right. Listen, number 2, though, as I remember, years ago, you mentioned being a radical moderate.
Yeah, that's kind of something that I made up that I think best describes
it. Right. Well, I just want you to know that I was listening to the president's inaugural address, and I think this was on MSNBC. They mentioned that a lot of people were looking for a period of radical moderation with Biden.
Well, I guess I'm onto something, but radical moderate even goes beyond Joe Biden. Tim, I appreciate the call, and you have a great weekend. If you're on hold, hang on. You got a comment. The WWL Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. So there was something really interesting on the cover of Rolling Stone on this day in 1981. I remember it. You might remember it as well. Famous photographer Annie Leibovitz was the one who took the picture. It was a picture of Yoko Ono fully clothed, and John Lennon was on top of her, totally naked. I wasn't thrilled with seeing John Lennon naked, but I mean, I guess there was a message there. It also coincided with an interview in Rolling Stone. But hey, you know, that was John Lennon. I mean, they did really some bizarre things. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. It was on this day, January 22nd, 1972, Don McLean's album American Pie hit number one on the U.S. charts, and it stayed there for 7 weeks. You know, we know about this song, American Pie, just an iconic song, and we've even had Don on the air talking about it, but he doesn't like to say too much about what it means, wanting to leave the meaning up to you, listener. There was another song that was a big hit, Vincent. It was a pretty decent hit for Don McLean. And it was about Vincent van Gogh, the artist. But I thought, you know, what else is on that album? You know, we hear about American Pie. I mean, there was an American Pie album. And then there was this other song, Vincent. But what else was on the American Pie album? Well, I picked a random song from the American Pie album by Don McLean. And I wonder if anybody's, like, listened to the album all the way through. Anyway, so here's another cut from the American Pie album. Everybody Loves Me Baby by Don McLean. So check this out. I mean, wait a minute. If Don McLean didn't do this song, whoever did this song could sue Don McLean for plagiarism of American Pie. I mean, this sounds kind of close to American Pie, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I thought that was kind of interesting. I never really thought about it until today. I mean, okay, well, what else is on that? What else is on that album? I'm Scoot. It is a cloudy Friday afternoon, but hey, it's Friday. That's the good part of it. The WWL Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We're doing another just fun day today. Something a little bit significant to talk about in just a moment, but you know, we're having fun, and I just encourage you that, you know, let's just be part of the show today. And if anything comes to mind while we're doing some of this pop culture stuff, man, just join the show, because you don't want me to sit here and talk all day. So the number is 504-260-1870, and let's go to the West Bank. And Paul, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing? I spoke to you for the first time yesterday, man.
Hey, Paul, I remember, and we gave you the first time caller treatment.
Oh yeah, you did, man. You rolled out the red carpet.
That's right.
Yeah. How you doing today?
I'm good.
Hey, I remember the days, man, of the late '60s and through the '70s and the '80s. Boy, that was a fine time to be around. Remember the days of the bell-bottom. Jeans and shirts and our tie-dye shirts. Remember them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that was '60s.
That was a big deal, 60, man.
Early '70s. Yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah, man. And also your platform shoes. I had a couple of pairs of them.
I only had one pair. I had one pair, and I'm lucky, you know, because I danced in them. So I'm lucky I didn't fall off hurt myself.
Especially if you were drunk, Scoot.
Well, and I was drunk in the platforms dancing, so, you know, I was a prime candidate for an accident.
I guarantee you, yeah. You would have had a hip joint replacement.
Oh, something.
Oh, something like that. And I tell you, that was the days, though. Remember the old 8-track tape players?
I do.
They used to eat all my tapes up, man.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, one would get caught in there, and you'd pull it out, and the tape would still be stuck inside, and it'd be reeling out of the box tape. You know, I remember.
Yeah. You remember that, huh?
I do.
I lost a lot of money on tapes, man.
Oh, yeah, I
really
know.
Did. But we had some fun in those days, man. We really did, you know. And the music was great. Oh, it was.
But we can still have fun.
What a time to be around.
It was a fun time. You know, I hope that for young generations.
Come back again, a fad.
Yeah, I hope that young generations today have as much fun relative to the times that we had. You know, I hope they look back. I hope young generations look back 30, 40 years from now and say, boy, you know, those were really great times. We had a great time. They might look back and go, you know what? It sucked back then. I'm glad we're where we are now.
I went to see Alice Cooper at Old Tagalog Stadium, man. Remember?
I was there.
Welcome to my nightmare, remember?
I was there.
Oh, man, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yep, it was.
You don't get concerts like that
no
more,
and you
man.
Know, oh, and think about this, Paul. Long before there was Marilyn Manson, and long before there was like people talking about satanic rock, there was Alice Cooper, who was bringing up a lot
Alice
of questionable
Cooper,
things
man.
On stage.
Oh yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Paul. Yeah. I'm gonna move on. Listen, you have a great weekend, and I'm glad you're listening.
God bless.
Thanks, Paul. Here is an email that says, you are talking about Fox bashing Biden, but all you do is bash Trump. You are a terrible radio guy. You cater to your own beliefs, very far left beliefs. Retire, please. No, man, I'm not going to retire. I mean, I'm having too much fun. And, you know, I'm not far left. I mean, you can think that if it's convenient for you to think that, if it kind of fits into your political world, then go ahead and think that. But I mentioned that, I mean, why would you criticize me for saying that Fox bashes Biden? Because they are. I mean, I was doing it like as a promo for Fox News, because I think this is one of the reasons that they might make a comeback in the ratings. And I had this, you know, I had this conversation with a couple of people on social media last night, again this morning. Do you know what I do opinion-wise? It's no different from what Rush does, or Hannity, or Levin, or Fox News. It's interesting that people think that, you know, a radio talk show host they disagree with needs to be objective, but the talk show host that they support, well, they can have their opinions. Well, if you understand the First Amendment, that don't work. Let's go to Senior Studio Producer Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, remember we were talking about music rumors yesterday?
Yeah.
And I ask if it's true, did Lemmy really get some teeth knocked out at their concert in the parish back in the mid-80s? Been hearing that story for years. I believe it happened. I'd like for it to be confirmed. And I know some of your listeners would, too.
Okay, I do have this written down. We haven't gotten to it yet. Can anybody confirm this? Because I looked into it a little bit, couldn't confirm it. So let's put this out there now. Did Lemmy from Motorhead really get his teeth knocked out when they played the St. Bernard Civic Auditorium saying that America metal sucks? And this would have been in the mid-80s. And I remember that Civic Auditorium. It used to be the St. Bernard Civic Auditorium. I saw The Who at the St. Bernard Civic Auditorium in 1968. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, but yeah, I did. All right, let's do another one, Ian.
Here's another one about the very controversial Diet Coke button.
Okay.
Says, I love the Diet Coke button. If it's true, better than having an intern waiting around to see what he needed, like Bill Clinton.
You know, I don't think everybody comes to interns, but, you know, I wrote about this because, I went on the WWL Radio Facebook page last night, and I'm just reading some comments about the story that we post about President Biden has removed the button that former President Trump used to push whenever he wanted a Diet Coke during the day. And people were critical of the station for even posting the story. So it's like they don't like the message, but they don't want to really criticize Trump for doing that. So they attack the messenger, Facebook and WWL Radio. And then I went over on Scoot on the Air Facebook and did a video defending the WWL Facebook page for posting it, saying, hey, come on, it's just a lighter story, not a big deal. And then I got attacked. So, people are really, really frustrated. And so if they can't defend or justify the message, then they attack the messenger. And I don't think we've seen the end of that anytime soon. But the blog is on our website right now, WWL.com. One more?
Yeah, a couple of people texted in about at the very closing minutes of the 1 o'clock hour, you were struggling with some of your paperwork, and you said that your home studio is all messy. A couple people suggested things you could do to get it cleaned up. Here's one that says, Tommy Tucker can hook you up with the maids that he advertises on his show. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good show. I've recommended that to people in the past.
Yeah.
And maybe you could get the maids to come up there and help you straighten out all that paperwork.
There are some there's some girls that work in the apartment building that I live in downtown, and I occasionally have them come in and clean. I don't know if I can afford the maids, for 3 hours every day to take care of the stuff. I mean, look, sometimes I just get to be a little unorganized. I admit that.
Well, by the way. You have a smallish desk there.
Well, here in the studio,
it's this huge, like 40 square foot thing. And you just have a tiny desk there.
Yeah, I have a little thing. I have a TV tray adjacent to it. So I've got extra room here on the TV tray.
Yeah.
But here's another thought about the Coke button, the Diet Coke button.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean that the government was paying somebody to sit there and watch the light or hear the buzzer to watch for a light or a buzzer every time Trump wanted a Diet Coke? Because I'm assuming that he put that button in because if he wants it right away. So there had to be somebody just sitting there waiting with like a Diet Coke ready to go. Okay, there's the light. Go, go, go. Get in there. Where's the buzzer? Better get in there. Be interesting to see if that was the way it was.
Anyway, that's one position at the White House that you could probably still get a job in the future moving forward. If you were the Diet Coke guy or gal, you're probably okay.
Yeah, and apparently there was not a big turnover there. You know how a lot of people turned over in the Trump administration. Apparently, that was not a big turnover there. Okay, let's go to Metairie and Mark. Welcome to our show this afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
So I was calling, it's been a while now, but there was a caller asking about the Rolling Stones concert in Superdome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know the exact dates, but 1975 was what he was, that was the question he was asking.
Right.
Stones never played in 75. And best of my recollection of, I was alive, but I wouldn't have been there, but best of my recollection of just history of the concerts back then, the Allman Brothers may have been that first concert.
Yeah, somebody did call with that, Mark. Yeah, the Rolling Stones. I'm finding out right now. But it was because it never occurred to me that it was the Rolling Stones, that I was here when the Dome first opened.
Right.
But it was the Allman Brothers, and that was all part of that Southern rock craze that was really going all around the country.
Right. Yeah, so the Stones, apparently, they played in 78, 89 and 94, and of course that in 81, and of course that 1981 concert was the concert that broke all the records at the time for most attended indoor concert ever, and that record stood for quite some time until just a handful of years back, and I don't remember who broke that record.
Wow, I don't remember that. But the Stones were there in the mid 80s again. And I don't remember the year, but I remember what happened backstage.
Gotcha.
All right, Mark, listen, I appreciate the information, man. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Thibodeau. Calvin, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Look, I'm calling now about the concert. If I remember right, it was June 18th, 1980, and it was in the Superdome. It was called Louisiana Second Day of Rock and Roll. And they had, like, Boston, Heart, Van Halen, Nazareth, Yellow, Sammy Hagar. And I remember being in that Superdome for well over 10 hours for that concert. You remember that?
I was there a couple times. You know, there are some things about the past that are a little bit vague to me, but I was there for a number of concerts by the Stones. And, loved them every time I saw them, including recently in the Dome. The Stones did not. They were not the first rock concert to open the Superdome.
No, but they had it was called the First Day of Rock and Roll, and I thought that was the Rolling Stones, which might have been like in 79.
The Stones wouldn't have been part of something like that. There were a couple of those kinds of shows where it was like a montage of groups, but the Stones would have been a standalone, like this is the Rolling Stones. It wouldn't be, you know, second day of rock and roll with the Rolling Stones and the Kinks and these other bands. They would have been totally standalone.
Yeah, because I do recall the second day of rock and roll. I mean, I still have my ticket stub.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I kept all my ticket stubs from every concert I went to.
Do you still go to concerts today?
Yeah, what?
Do you still go to concerts? I mean, well, not since the pandemic, but been going to... See, that's one of the things that I miss most about the pandemic is not being able to go to concerts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I really miss it. All right, Calvin, I appreciate the information. Glad you called. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get back to more of your calls here in just a minute. In 1972, homosexuality was not widely accepted in America. It was frowned upon. And a lot of people were in the closet. And, you know, I know that there are people who now think, oh, there are so many more gay people today. No, they're not. The percentage of gays in America hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is that people who were gay and didn't say anything, now they feel free to say something. And personally, I think it's about time. In fact, I'm going to officiate a gay wedding tomorrow. Dan and Donald are getting married. They asked me if I would marry them. And so I'm going to perform the ceremony tomorrow afternoon. And I'm so looking forward to it because I'm such a strong supporter of gay rights and gay marriage. Because I just believe in equality in America. And I don't think that what somebody does in the privacy of their own life, in the privacy of their bedroom, should disqualify them from anything in our American society. But back in 1972, being gay was a big deal. And that's why on this day in 1972, it was a big deal when David Bowie told Melody Maker, "I'm gay, I always have been." Well, in part, David Bowie did that to shock the world. He did a few things to shock the world. Remember the album cover, Diamond Dogs, where it was like David Bowie's head and chest and the rest of his body was a dog? Like half man, half dog, half Bowie, half dog. Weird. Anyway, we learned later in life that David Bowie was indeed bisexual. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, it's Friday afternoon, and I'm Scoot. Glad you are with us this afternoon. It's a free-for-all Friday, and we're doing a lot of pop culture today because, you know, we had a very eventful week, and man, the hate's still out there, and the contempt and looking for reasons to criticize anybody for anything. It's still all alive and well, so we're taking a break from that today. But I do have this blog posted on our website, reaction to the story about Trump's Diet Coke button. And that's on our website at WWL.com. And it's about attacking the messenger if you can't defend or justify the message. Also coming up, going into the break, long before Kenny Rogers was known as a country singer, as a solo artist, Kenny Rogers was with a band. He was the lead singer of a band. And I remember this first hit. I mean, I'm old enough to remember this. I mean, I'm young, but I remember this as a hit. We're going to play that and remind you about that going into this next break because it's the day that this song was released. And many of you baby boomers will remember it because it was a huge hit. For Metairie, Ken, you're on WWL.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm really not. You know, Biden signed an executive order saying mandatory mask wearing on all federal property. Then he goes to the Lincoln Memorial and doesn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, the Lincoln Memorial would fall into federal property, and you ain't said a word about it.
I know. Probably ought to impeach him.
But they should, huh?
Yeah, impeach him.
But, I mean, y'all want to talk about Trump and all his crap, but you don't want to say nothing about Biden because you don't want to upset the little sheep that follow you on the radio.
You think that's true?
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I mean, your sheep that follow you might get upset at you and cancel you out.
Well, then, why are people like you listening to me if all I have is sheep listening? Right. Why are there people like you listening?
Around. I like to, no, I why, listen to multiple well, things. Well, I don't, okay, but I don't get, just you.
So the point is that there are a hell of a lot of people just like you that are not sheep, right, and they're not following along with everything that I say, and they disagree, and they listen to the show because they find it entertaining.
Oh, but when your listeners call in and say that everybody that follows Trump's a sheep, you don't tell them nothing.
I don't say that everybody who follows Trump is a sheep. There are sheep who follow
you.
Trump.
I said when your callers and listeners call in and say it.
Yeah, I don't want to argue with you today. I mean, you want to call Monday and argue? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's call Monday.
Call me Monday.
I'll call you Monday. We'll argue Monday. All right. So talk to you then.
All right. Can't wait. For Metairie, Jenny, you're on WWL.
Hello, Scoot.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey, love. I don't know if anybody's old enough out there to remember this, but some of my gay friends took me to the Bally High. The old Punch Train Beach one night.
I remember that place.
Oh, God. I apparently had too many zombies, and I don't remember if I danced on the table or the bar. But they didn't throw me out, and I remember so...
Well, because you probably weren't the only one there doing that. I mean, I remember the Bally High.
Yes. They looked at me like I'd lost it, which I had, but my friends got me down... And we had something to eat, and people just let me alone. And I keep thinking, I have, that was probably the best night in forever. I never had a bad moment with a gay friend ever.
That's cool, Jenny. Yeah. Let me mention this about the Bally High, and a lot of people listening are going to remember this. And this is for baby boomers, and for those of you who are Xers, Millennials and Zoomers. Here's a little information you might want to hold about the baby boomers in case the baby boomers give you a hard time.
Okay.
Baby boomers used to go to the Bally High because they didn't check IDs. And especially around prom time, when you were looking for a place to go eat and drink, you could go in there at 16 years old and they wouldn't check your ID. So there were 16-year-old baby boomers in there breaking the law by drinking because they didn't ask for IDs.
I tell you why I know this. I didn't realize it at the time, obviously, but I was the oldest person in the group. I was, I think, 20-something, 20, I think, or 19 or 20. And everybody else, at that time it was 18 you could drink. And everybody that went with me was younger. So I probably took a lot of them in, and they looked at me because I sort of looked like one of those conservative types.
Uh-huh.
Still do. And so nobody ever blamed me for anything. They thought it was everybody else that did it, and it was usually my idea to start with. But I loved the Bally High. I mean, I don't even know what the food was, if it was good.
Polynesian. It was like Pacific. It was kind of a Chinese, Philippines, Hawaiian kind of. It was kind of Hawaiian thing. I think Polynesia would be the best way to describe it.
Was the food any good? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Who cared? We didn't care about it. We were 16 years old. We were looking for drinks. We didn't care about food.
Well, that was the one place they had, at that time I used to drink zombies, that made a great zombie. I mean, it was solid alcohol, I think, just about.
But well,
I mean, oh, Lord. I loved it. Loved it.
Oh, I know.
So many places like that I loved. But
it was fun.
Yes, it was.
Well, Jenny, thank you for that memory.
All right, love.
I appreciate the call. So that's what I love about this show from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, because we can kind of really go anywhere. Somebody wants to talk something serious, call me on Monday. We'll talk about that Monday. There was a place, Rock and Bowl. Rock and Bowl now, there's Ye Olde College Inn is right there at Rock and Bowl. And back in the day, I remember I was 16, and I had the great benefit, I was dating an 18-year-old. And so she could legally buy liquor at the time. At Ye Olde College Inn, I mean, think about this in context of the world today. Ye Olde College Inn, it was a drive-in. Well, I mean, there was a restaurant, but it was also a drive-in. They had waitresses come out to the car and take your order. And they would bring you a drink. I mean, in a glass. And so here you are sitting in your car drinking, and then you leave. Now, I don't think that would be tolerated today, but I remember that from the past. Let's before we go to the break, let's go to Senior Studio Producer Ian Hook with a couple of text messages.
About Lemmy, here's a text that says, I remember Lemmy had the high mic placement. I could see his teeth getting hit.
Oh, so the mic may have knocked him out?
I guess so. I feel like, personally, I lack a lot of context about this whole conversation. So
you're going to have to help
me out with that. But it sounds like Lemmy had the microphone placed high, like in relation to where his mouth was, and then maybe the mic hit him?
Yeah, I don't know. The guy's name's Lemmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lemmy with Motorhead. So I don't know if anybody can confirm the story. There's a myth out there. We cleared up the myth this week, the question about whether or not Ozzy Osbourne really did bite the head off a real bat. It's true. Yes, we busted that myth. And so now we're looking for information on Lemmy from Motorhead. Did he get his teeth knocked out when he said American metal sucks while performing at the Sacred Heart Civic Auditorium in the mid-'80s? Love to know more about that. All right, if you want to join us, the WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Hey, do you remember this song? I just dropped in to see what your condition was in. Remember this? This was a big hit. This song was released on this day in 1968. That's Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers was the lead singer of the First Edition. And this was their big hit in 1968. Go, Kenny. And then he went country after this. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWE. Oh, by the way, the gay wedding that I'm going to officiate, there's only going to be 9 people there, you know, because I'm staying away from crowds. And I'll wear a mask until it's time to speak. I'll take it off to speak, just like Joe Biden did at the Lincoln Memorial. It was on this day, January the 22nd, 1985, that designer and fashion critic Mr. Blackwell named Cher the worst-dressed woman of 1984. He said she has little or no respect for being a woman. On the list, Cyndi Lauper was number 4, said she looks like the aftermath of a San Francisco earthquake. And tied at number 10 was Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, who's a guy, said Mr. Blackwell said he looks like a car crash in a whorehouse. And Prince was described as a toothpick wrapped in a purple doily. And those were the antics of Mr. Blackwell. He was a very well-known critic at the time. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, we'll get to more of your calls coming up. The WWL Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And here is an email from Doug. It says, the Kenny Rogers First Edition song was also used in The Big Lebowski. I always want to say The Big Lewinsky, but no, it was The Big Lebowski. The Big Lewinsky, that's about, that. You know what that's about.
That's a different movie.
Yeah, a whole different movie. I think President Clinton was part of that. Anyway, so apparently this was one of the more memorable scenes. I don't remember The Big Lebowski. I don't remember the movie.
Oh, you should go back and watch
that.
I mean,
I guess I saw it, but I don't have any memory. What was it about?
It's about Jeff Daniels. The guy steals his rug, and he goes through all these adventures and meets all these weirdos to try to get his rug back.
Julianne Moore sounds really exciting. No, that sounds compelling, yeah.
I didn't do a good job of explaining it, but it's very funny. It's a Coen Brothers film.
Oh, yeah, that's riveting. Guy loses his rug. You know, you walk into a movie producer in Hollywood's office. Hey, I got a story about a guy who loses his rug, and he runs into people when he's trying to find his rug. Oh, yeah, okay, let's sign this guy up.
This is my floor. Good luck.
Let's sign this guy up. Okay. All right, we are going to come back with more. And also, when we come back, there's a new young singer in New Orleans. Her name is Carly Pierce. And she's 18 years old, and she is one hell of a singer. She's got great style and a great new song, and I want you to hear it. And she's really talented, and I'm sure she's going to be going somewhere. We're going to play her music, and we'll talk to her coming up right after the news. So here it is Friday. It's a free-for-all Friday on the show. I am really glad you're with us, and we will be back with a lot more. Joe Exotic says that he was too gay for President Trump to pardon him. I don't know whether that's true, but the Tiger King is still in jail. We'll be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.